Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
The kind of preaching God wants. I suppose all of us would agree that preachers certainly ought to know what kind of preaching God wants, but I suggest that not only preachers, but all the members of the church need to know the kind of preaching that God wants and should insist upon that kind of preaching and support that kind of preaching. Because if you don't know what God wants, you don't know whether you're hearing what God wants. I know that God wants preaching. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21 that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, he wasn't calling preaching foolishness, but some of those who were the wise men of the world looked upon the message that the apostles preached as foolishness. But yet, that is the very message, and preaching was the very method that God has used to make known his way of salvation to mankind. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 3, we learn that God has manifested his word through preaching. Every great and noble cause among men has for the most part ridden forward upon the public proclamation of the message and of the things that that movement stood for, and New Testament Christianity is no different. But it is obvious that all preaching does not please God. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, "For why do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Those who preach can decide whether they will attempt to please men or whether they will attempt to please God. And you know, the irony of the thing is that even if they make the effort to try to please men, they're not going to please all men. So it certainly should never be the ambition or the goal of anyone who professes to preach to simply please men, but to please God, find out what God wants, and try to please God, and hope that that would be also satisfactory to a lot of men, and that they also would want to support that kind of preaching. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the brethren in Thessalonica, had some words to say about his preaching in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with verse 3. He said, "For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God." And in verse 13 of the same chapter, he says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Have you ever stopped to think what kind of preaching is the world receiving? Now, when I ask that question, and what we're going to be talking about, I am not referring to the manner of the preacher, or his tone of voice, or his individual peculiarities that he might have as a preacher, for all of us possess those oddities that might distinguish and separate us from others. I am talking about the message. What kind of messages from pulpits are people receiving throughout the world? If you will take a close analysis of what's being heard, you will see that there's about as much preaching on foreign policy and economics and politics as there anything else. You will hear preaching on the theologies and the philosophies of men. You will hear the doctrines of men. You will hear the call for social reform without the spiritual regeneration. You will hear a great deal about fundraising. You will also hear entertainment. You will hear those things that will arouse people and make them excited, and those messages that will make people feel good. Someone has said that the kind of preaching that the world generally is receiving is the Heinz variety, that is some 57 different kinds, I suppose. And seldom is it what God has called for in His Word. I want to suggest to you a few things, dear people, that God expects and that God wants in gospel preaching. He wants preaching that's truthful. Paul said, preach the Word. The passage of Scripture that Dale read to us a moment ago could be added to a long list of passages. Christ preached the gospel. God's Word is inspired of God. You're familiar with the passage, 2 Timothy 3:16-17, where all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God wants preaching that informs people that the Bible is His, infallible, inspired, inerrant, all-sufficient, authoritative standard and Word. He wants people to be convinced of what He has said and that the Bible is His means of communication unto mankind. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul said, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." God wants preaching that lets people know that when they read and study and get the message from the book, that's His message. That's His revelation. That is not the concoction and the inventions of men. When He was writing to His Corinthian brethren, He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So God wants preaching that is according to the oracles of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. Now, since the Bible claims to be the Word of God, dear people, if it is, and since it is, it deserves being preached. And if it is not what it claims to be, then it is not deserving of being proclaimed, and it is unreliable. I think we need to constantly emphasize the necessity of hearing the Word in order to be saved. For instance, in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "Without faith it is impossible to please God." But how does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. Jesus said, John 8:32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Well, what is the truth? Well, in John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy Word is truth." So we have to have the Word in order to be freed from our spiritual bondage. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father." Matthew 4 and verse 4. In John 5 and verse 39, He says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life." In John 12 and verse 48, He said, "The word that I have spoken unto you, the same shall judge you in the last day." In James 1 and verse 21, He pleads, "Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul." Friend, it is God's plan that man be taught, that man learn, that man hear the Word. This is the reason how Christ said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." God wants preaching that's true to the Bible. Now, right along that line, God wants preaching, therefore, that will exalt the crucified Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul said, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." When Paul preached, this is what he preached. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, and by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory of what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain." Now, Paul, what did you preach? "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." It is obvious, is it not, that a great burden of the message of the inspired Apostle Paul was the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said in Romans 1 and verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto all them that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now, this brings the question, inasmuch as he preached Christ and him crucified, what is it to preach Christ? It means not only to preach the person, Jesus Christ, but it also means to preach his doctrine, to preach what he preached and what he taught. Now, to preach the person of Christ, you might want to go back even to his pre-existence with the Father being deity. Before he took on the form of flesh, you'd want to preach his virgin birth. You would want to preach his perfect sinless life. You would want to preach his power in the performance of miracles to ascertain and to prove and verify that he was who he claimed to be, the Son of God. You would want to preach and teach what he taught, but you'd want to preach and teach what happened to him. His death for our sins, like Paul, and his burial, like Paul, and his resurrection, like Paul, and his ascension also, as well as his coronation and the crowning of him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And to preach Christ, you will preach his promise to return again, and the judgment that is to come, and the eternal reward that will be for the faithful, and the punishment for those that reject him. That's preaching the person of Jesus Christ. But we also must preach his doctrine, his teaching. Preach and teach those things that he taught in parables, those things that he taught explicitly as well as by parables in other ways. His plan of salvation must be taught. His plan and pattern for man's worship must be taught. His teaching on morals and ethics by which we are to live every day. Those things must be taught. Now that's what it is to preach Christ. And any time you preach, anywhere from Genesis to Revelation, inasmuch as he is and has always been the central personality of the entire Bible, to preach Christ is to preach the Bible. You preach anything in the Bible, it all has its importance, and it all relates to the Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And when you preach the Bible, you are preaching Christ. And Paul says that's what we're to preach. Him crucified and buried and resurrected, being right at the center and the heart of what God provided for us by and through Jesus Christ. We must preach his love. We must preach his justice. We must preach his grace and his mercy. But we must also preach his wrath. We must preach and teach whatever the Bible has to say. That's the kind of preaching that God wants concerning Christ. Furthermore, God wants preaching that distinguishes clearly the difference between right and wrong. Now, there are those people who want everything to fall into a gray area. But the Lord teaches there's those things that are right and those things that are wrong. There are those things that are true and those things that are false. There's his doctrine and then there's the false doctrines of men. And when we teach the doctrines of men, Jesus said, "For in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." You're well aware in Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, how he warned against those that would preach any other gospel than that which he had preached. Any other gospel than what they had received, he said, let them be anathema, which literally means let them be accursed or cut off from God. I read to you a moment ago how that the Apostle Paul said we are to preach the Word. Now, the full reading of that is in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and this is what he had to say, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and this is what he had to say along that line. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick," that's the living, "and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word." Notice, "be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." And he tells why. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned aside unto fables. Notice his preaching was to reprove, it was to rebuke, that's negative preaching, it was to exhort, that's positive preaching. There is both a positive and a negative quality in the kind of preaching God wants. This reminds us of the commission that God gave to the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, where he told Jeremiah to root up, to destroy, to break down, and overthrow. That's the negative side of his work. But also to plant and to build. Now, the attitudes of people have a great deal to do with what is needed most at any particular given time. But friend, it is fair to say that in our society, in our day and age, there are many people who really resent the negative side of the gospel. They really resent the don'ts, the thou shalt nots, that are found in the doctrine of Christ. It's because they do not like the exposure of sin, because the exposure of sin would make them feel guilty, and they want to be able to do whatever they want to do. And they do not approve of clear-cut contrast between truth and error, right and wrong. There are those people who think preaching ought to be approached like the Dale Carnegie idea and to win friends and influence people and all positive. I've heard of preachers who have been advised, and I have been advised, don't knock the other fellow's product. Just tell them the benefits of your own product. When I go out here, he says, to sell an automobile, I don't say I want to sell a Chevrolet. I don't knock the Ford. I just tell them what's good about the Chevrolet. And that's the way you ought to preach the gospel. Let me tell you why that doesn't work. Whether you buy a Chevrolet or a Ford, both of them, if they're in working order, they'll get you to where you want to go. But folks, truth and error won't take you to the same place. Only truth will save your soul. Error will damn your soul in hell. And part of the preaching of the apostles, part of the preaching of the early church, part of the preaching of Christ was knocking the devil's products. And therefore, if we're going to preach like they preached, and if we're going to preach the way that the Lord approves and expects, we will also preach the negative side of the gospel. And we must preach the part that God loves the sinner, but God hates sin. And the reason that He hates sin is because sin destroys the one whom He loves. Now you just stop and think about that. There really is not any manifestation of love for the sinner, and no manifestation for the hatred of sin, when you fail to warn the sinner of the error of his way and condemn his sin so that he might turn from it. The most loving thing that can be done to one who is in sin is to show to him his transgressions and what those transgressions will ultimately do for him. It won't do anything for him, but to him. And that is a kind of preaching that God wants. Furthermore, God wants people to be not only cleansed from their sins, He wants them to grow to spiritual maturity. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, we learn that those who are able to take strong meat, those who are of full age, they have learned to discern, that is, to distinguish, to know the difference between good and evil. You know, there's just a world of people in our society that don't know the difference between right and wrong. They think evil is just as good as good. They don't know the difference between truth and error, and they'd just as soon follow error as truth because they just don't know the difference. And part of the responsibility for people not knowing the difference is because of the kind of soft soap preaching they hear. They never hear what God hates. They only hear how God loves them in spite of what they are and regardless of what they do. But that's not the kind of preaching God wants. God wants preaching that's clear and definite and distinct and certain. Furthermore, Isn't it obvious, as you study your Bible, that God wants preaching that exalts His church? Not just preaching that exalts religion, not preaching that exalts churches, but preaching that exalts His church. God wants preaching that shows to people it makes a difference to which church you belong. Oh, sometimes people say, preach Christ and not the church. Really, you couldn't do it to save your life if you're going to preach the Christ of the New Testament. You can't preach Christ and not preach His body. That's what the church is. You can't preach the King and just leave off His kingdom. You can't even preach the Savior and leave out the saved. There's no such thing as preaching Christ and not the church. For Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the foundation of the church. Christ is the founder of the church. Christ is the Savior of the church. How are you going to preach Christ without preaching His church? Unfortunately, the system of denominationalism has persuaded many people that one church is just as good as another and you can choose the church of your choice. But there's not a man living in this county or anywhere in this state or this world that can show from the Word of God that that's the kind of preaching God wants. Because the Bible teaches us to preach there is one church. There's not a multiplicity of churches and take the one you like the best. There is one church that God has established and one church that God will save. Now, whether that's me or you or us or them, that is a matter that can be determined according to what is taught. But we do know there is one body, Ephesians 4:4, and that body is the church, Ephesians 1:22 and 23. And God wants preaching that lets people know. You're not left just to choose whatever you want to do. You're left with a choice, all right. You can choose God's way and go to heaven, or you can choose not to go His way and take the eternal consequences of destruction because of it. I'll tell you something else God wants in preaching. God wants preaching that will convict and persuade and convince the sinner that he's lost. Nobody has ever come to the Lord until they first have realized they have a need for the Lord. And it is because of sin that we have a need for what Christ has provided for us. God wants preaching that convinces people all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Preaching that teaches us that it is the sin that separates us from God. Persuades us of that truth. Now the truth that one sins and that separates you from God will disturb those who live in sin. Well, it's designed and intended to disturb those who are in sin, that they might do something about it. It will arouse those who are lost. And it's intended to arouse those who are lost, because until a person realizes he's lost, he will not have any real interest in what he must do to be saved. God wants preaching that convicts people that they are sinners and that they need salvation. You know, when the Apostle Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the people were pricked in their heart. That is, they were cut in their hearts. He didn't send them home and said, now Christ died and you crucified Him, but everybody feel good and go on home and love your neighbor. He convinced and convicted them. They were displeasing in the sight of God because of what they had done. When the Apostle Paul preached, he persuaded people, because they were made sorry after a godly sort, to repent. To turn, to change, and to obey the commandments of the Lord that they might be saved. And sometimes people say, oh, you're going to create guilt feelings. Well, friend, that's all right. When one is guilty, that's the kind of feelings he ought to have. A man is deceived to be guilty of sin and not have any guilt feelings. And the gospel does bring guilt feelings because it convinces a person of his guilt. But it removes those guilt feelings also. How? By telling people what they must do to receive the forgiveness of their sins. And when you have been forgiven of your sins, there is no need for guilt feeling anymore. because you're no longer guilty. You've been washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the gospel preaching that God wants is not to just lull people into a complacency and to think all is well when all is not well. The gospel will teach a person that he's lost in sin, but it'll also teach a person, here is the way to be forgiven. Gospel preaching that does not include God's plan for saving man is sorely lacking and incomplete. This is the reason gospel preachers, realizing that we're saved by the Word of God, repeatedly preach the plan of salvation, even in generalized and sometimes in a hurried manner, telling what God has done, His grace and love and mercy, telling what Christ has done, His perfect life and His dying on the cross, His death, burial, and resurrection, and so on. This is the reason gospel preachers tell people they must obey the gospel in faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ, and then a faithful life in Christ. Why? Why, that's the kind of preaching God wants. That's the kind of preaching that saves souls. And you don't find in the Bible preaching that tells people you're saved by faith only, or by grace only, or sign a card, or repeat some prayer after me, or come to the mourner's bench, or just ask Christ to come into your heart, whatever that might mean, or some direct operation of the Holy Spirit, or expect some kind of religious experience, and on, what men are hearing today is not what the Bible teaches is God's plan for saving man. Now, God wants preaching that let us know where we are and the direction we are going. And when we're going the wrong direction, which direction we ought to go and how to go that way. That's the kind of preaching God has always called for. And also, dear people, God wants preaching that builds up the church, that edifies and strengthens and informs the Lord's church, that keeps the Lord's people a working people, an active people, attentive to their duties and their responsibilities. God wants preaching that teaches brethren to be liberal in their giving. Now, a lot of people are liberal. Liberal in almost everything except their giving. But God wants people to be a cheerful giver, to give as they have been prospered. God wants preaching that teaches people how to worship and to be reverent in that worship. God wants preaching that teaches brethren to uphold the pure gospel of Jesus Christ without man's additions or subtractions. God wants preaching to members of the church that exhorts members of the church how to live all the days of their life. He wants preaching that teaches us how to have the right kind of marital relationship, how to rear our children, how to have the right kind of home, how to get along with people in society, how to be God's lights in a world of sinful darkness. He wants what He has revealed unto us that teaches us to be edified and strengthened and built up. And in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, this is what the Apostle Paul said the preaching of the Word will do for us. He said, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up." Now, that's the kind of preaching I suggest to you that God wants. Now, there are other things that possibly we could say as to what God wants in preaching. But, friend, He wants preaching, and I think we could summarize and put it all under an umbrella and just say this. God wants preaching that, when believed and obeyed, we'll take you to heaven. Isn't that what God wants? Isn't that what truth will do? Isn't that what the design of the gospel is? And when the Bible teaches it, and it's true to the Bible, that's what God wants. And when it's not, then God doesn't want that. Man does not have the prerogative. He ought not be so arrogant and presumptuous to just think he can preach anything that he wants to and it'd be pleasing to God. Now, he might tickle the ears of his hearers. He might be able to hold down a job and continue to draw a salary and so forth. He might even be popular among a lot of people, but dear friend, he'll lose his soul because he's not preaching the kind of preaching God wants. In summary, God wants preaching that's true to the book. God wants preaching that exalts Jesus Christ and Him crucified. God wants preaching that makes a clear-cut distinction between what is right and wrong, between truth and error. God wants preaching that exalts His church for which He died. God wants preaching that persuades and convinces and convicts the sinner of the error of his way. God wants preaching that shows the sinner how he can be saved and be relieved from that burden that he's placed upon himself. God wants preaching that keeps the Christian's hope alive by teaching him how to be faithful and how to live a Christ-like life. God wants preaching that leads to heaven. Now, brethren, from the Word of God, we can know that's the kind of preaching God wants. Is that the kind of preaching we want? Well, I suggest to you that's the kind of preaching that deserves our support. That's the kind of preaching we ought to demand out of everybody that professes to preach. That's the kind of preaching that will take us to glory. That's the kind of preaching we dare not neglect. If that's not the kind of preaching we want, then we need to do a little more searching of the Scriptures and come to a knowledge of the truth and come to love and to want what God loves and wants. For our salvation depends upon it. Now, as we read and study the kind of preaching that God wants, as I've already mentioned, it's preaching that tells the people what they must do to be saved. It is one of the saddest things in all the world that this most important question that a human being can ask, what must I do to be saved, that men are receiving different answers. That is tragic, because a lot of good and honest and sincere people are being deceived and misled, and they have a false security and think all is well when they haven't even done what God teaches. Preaching that God wants tells you that you must believe that Jesus is the Christ. Except you believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. John 8:24. He wants preaching that tells you to repent, to change, to turn around, to go differently. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. God wants preaching that will encourage people to be confident enough and bold enough and courageous enough to confess their faith in Christ. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:10. God wants preaching that tells people where they reach the saving blood of Christ. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Romans 6:3-4 tells us when we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death. That's where his blood was shed. God wants people to know that. The necessity of being baptized by your obedience to God in his commands, whereupon he applies the soul-cleansing blood of the Son of God to your sin-stained soul, and you are raised to walk in the newness of life. And God wants preaching that will tell the fallen Christian, come back home. The Father still loves you. He does not approve of you as you are, but he will receive you if you will repent and confess your wrongs and come to him in prayer and seek his forgiveness. God will restore you into the good fellowship of his family once again. Now, that's the kind of preaching God wants. And that's what we should want, dear people. We should want nothing other than the truth. Just what God has revealed. Now, if you're here tonight and have not yet obeyed the gospel, this is a marvelous opportunity you have to let it be known you want to obey the preaching of God. If you have not been loyal and faithful in times past, my dear brother or sister, it does not have to remain that way, no, not yet for another hour. You can be restored before God and before your brethren. Will you not favorably respond to the invitation of Christ, which in itself is a part of the preaching God wants?